Shalom and welcome again to another edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I am your host, Rabbi Richard Address. These are the podcasts for Jewish Sacred Aging, and they're designed to bring some information and enlightenment about the current revolution in longevity. And we welcome you to this special edition of Seekers of Meaning. It's special in the sense that we're going to focus on an academic program that we've talked about before and now has completed its initial year. And I'm talking about the Yeshiva University Certification Program on Gerontology and Palliative Care. And we welcome a whole slew of people, a gaggle of professionals who are sitting up in a studio at Yeshiva University in New York. And we'll go through them every once in a while, and because we'll take some time to mention all of them. But we're going to start with the program director, Dr. Gary Stein. Gary, first of all, welcome back to Seekers of Meaning. I really appreciate you taking some time, and you brought several of the students, Rabbi Bernstein, Rabbi Alkotzi, Ellen Cohen. Dr. Levy is there from faculty, and Dr. Blackman is also there in faculty. And I hope Rabbi Kroll is going to be joining us as well. But I want to start with the basics, because this is posting at the beginning of the academic year. There hopefully will be some people, as with the previous podcast that we featured the program on, who may be interested in getting the information about this certification program. So to start off, tell me about the program, what it entails, how long is it, how does somebody apply?
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Address. I'm very pleased to report on our very exciting new program, our Rabbinic Certificate Program in Gerontology and Palliative Care. We developed this program to better equip Jewish clergy, rabbis, cantors, Jewish educators, chaplains, and rabbinic students how to provide better and more responsive care to families in their congregations who are facing issues of aging and serious illness. To that end, we developed at Yeshiva, at the School of Social Work, a six-course certificate program that ranges from the core issues of counseling skills and philosophical foundations to the specialized courses in gerontology, which is an aging course, palliative care, which involves caring for people with serious illness, coping with loss, which is a bereavement course, and aging in the Jewish community that we're very happy that you, Richard Address, and Rabbi Dale Friedman, we're so honored to have you on faculty to teach. We started this program last year, and we've completed. We have had a cohort of 14 students, and we're starting our next year at the end of October after the Jewish holidays. Students, people who may be interested in finding out more information could find information at Wurzweiler School of Social Work's website, www.yu.edu/Wurzweiler, W-U-R-Z-W-E-I-L-E-R. There is a page that describes the Palliative Care and Gerontology Certificate Program, Q&As to answer some questions, a phone number to reach out to us, and a very brief application form that is necessary for people to fill out to let us know that they wish to be considered for the program. We're very fortunate to have financial support for students who are interested in the program with a very generous grant from a Jewish foundation. Tuition is $810 for each of six courses. For rabbinic students, the tuition is lower at $500 for each of six courses. Our program also offers a very unique advantage for students who might have an interest in moving on towards an MSW degree because they're interested in developing a clinical practice, becoming a licensed mental health professional, or developing a complementary career to their rabbinic work. All five of the six classes are transferable to our MSW degree. If anyone is interested and wants more information, they could reach out to our recruitment coordinator, Rabbi Stephen Kroll, who is also a social worker, and he could be reached at Stephen.Kroll krul@yu.edu. I'm so pleased and honored that we have three of our esteemed students who are joining us, Rabbi Shmuel Bernstein and Dr. Ellen Cohn and Rabbi Susan Elkotsi, who's also on this meeting.
Gary, one of the things, and we're going to be placing some of the contact information on the notes for this Seekers of Meaning. So when people, when you contact us or look for it on the website or the Facebook page, you'll get some of that, you'll get that information. But one of the things I want to make sure people understand, this is an online program. It is not a sitting in a classroom, correct?
Absolutely, Richard, and thank you for reminding me of one of the most important aspects of our program. We've designed this program to be both convenient and flexible for rabbis to account for the busy schedules and busy professional lives that most rabbis have. Being that all six of the courses are offered online, students can log on to the to our course site at any time of the day or evening that is convenient to them, do the readings, participate in an online discussion forum where the dialogue among the students largely takes place. So it fits in very nicely with the very busy schedules of rabbis. Each of the professors also tried to incorporate some classrooms on Zoom, so that people also have the opportunity to meet with each other, dialogue with each other, and get a personal touch that sometimes you may not have on an online discussion forum.
So we have, as you mentioned, Shmuel, Susan, and Ellen in the room with you who have just completed the class. What I really like to ask you is, first of all, what motivated you to take this program? What drove you to sign up in your professional life? And if you could reduce the what's the best takeaway from this year that you've had? Let me start with Ellen.
Okay, hi. First of all, I'm the one non-rabbi in the group. I'm a doctoral level Jewish educator.
We won't hold that against you.
No dissertations. And I had done work in the relationship between psychological issues and spirituality and community work. And I was starting to move from my earlier work. I myself am aging, from working with young families to working with my own generation, baby boomers and beyond. So that's what motivated me. I had done a lot of reading and aging, but one of the big takeaways was working together in a cohesive way with the instructors really giving an outline, and as well as with the online form and some personal contact, being able to really cohere the direction I was going and learn things as a direct unit. And that was exceedingly beyond important and professionally and growth producing. The takeaways, it was wonderful to work with people from different areas of the spectrum. I'm modern Orthodox. There were some people who are more right wing, or I don't know, say more straight Orthodox. There were some people, there was a Reformed rabbi. There were a couple of pluralistic rabbis and maybe a conservative. I don't know, but everything in between, and really sharing where we were and our different knowledge bases and finding some friendly debates, as well as a lot of mutual support. One of the things was the professors gave different things that we had to solve. You know, Sarah has a lot of problems. She's been in institutions. She's suicidal. Now she's coming to you, the rabbi or the community leader, and deal with it using different modalities. And that was, what? And really doing that and then sharing it with the group and with the professors was incredible. Doing for the aging course, a ritual. I'd never done, I'm from a more Orthodox background, a ritual and learning how to do that. Looking at a congregation and trying to do things where elderly individuals and younger people work together. I did a PowerPoint with a voiceover. I never did a PowerPoint with a voiceover about isolation in the elding. So those were really incredible takeaways. And just learn. And also, there was a, which I did not expect online. I'm also working as a chaplain. We do a lot of self-awareness. I did not expect an online course to do that. But I found myself really revealing parts of myself as a professional and as a person, and even saying outside of the group, I can't believe I said that. And I said, Ellen, we all saying that. And that really was a really strong growth producing and professionally enhancing program. So I'm really grateful for the year.
Thanks, Ellen. Shmuel, you come from an Orthodox congregation in North Jersey, if I remember correctly. And so what motivated you to sign up, and what was your biggest takeaway from this year?
Well, when I saw the program advertised, it seemed like it was the perfect thing. I couldn't say no to it. Fortunately, I have the great honor of maintaining a small, older congregation where the challenges that face them are not necessarily those that face the younger generation. And they come to me the same way that younger people come to me. And sometimes I have felt in the past inadequate to address their issues appropriately and according to what they really need. So an idea of having a program that addresses the rabbi's approach to the older population seemed like something really compelling for me. Additionally, on a personal level, I was caring for two aging parents, and the challenges in personally taking care of them, not only from the point of view of a son towards his parents, but of what's expected of me? How should I feel during that place in my life? And the program has provided me a great deal of information and hands-on skills. I could remember weekly what we learned in the program, I would put into place that week. It almost seemed strange if a week would go by without being able to put into place, and I would comment on that in the discussion forums. The discussion forums allowed for an opportunity to share ideas and concerns where we might not be open enough to share in person or in public, but on the internet, on a discussion group where we don't necessarily see the facial reaction to our comments, makes it a lot easier. The professors that gave all the classes were very much approachable and catered to our needs. They made the program fit into our schedule. I would sit on the computer at midnight when I was done doing my other chores, and I appreciate that immensely. Right now, I don't know what I'm doing at midnight anymore because I don't have the group that we have. As Ellen mentioned, we have an eclectic group. Everyone is from a different background, yet we have common ground, and we were able to relate on that common ground. I remember thinking at different times, maybe I should hold back from saying something because who knows what the reaction will be.
No, I remember, I think, one or two of your posts in the discussion forum, but it opened up, as you're pointing out, an interesting thing. You approach it from the sense of it's may have been easier in certain circumstances to post something on the discussion forum than sitting across from somebody in the room. That's a very interesting comment. Susan, you come from the opposite perspective theologically, from the non-Orthodox community. And you serve a smaller congregation on Long Island. What pointed you to sign up for this, and what was your takeaway from this?
Well, I don't know that my perspective is necessarily opposite. Having been ordained at the Academy for Jewish Religion, which is pluralistic, one of the things that I found was that I was able to get a perspective from Shmuel or perspective from Liz, who's a Reform rabbi, and from Ellen that I might not have had before. And the average age of my congregation is 80. So Ellen lives in the next town, in the interest of full disclosure. She had told me about the program, and I said, it sort of sounds okay. And then you and Gary did the podcast, and I said, I must do this program. And immediately went and tried to sign up. I think it took a little time to finally get everything together. But I took this program because of the fact that not only is my congregation getting older and dealing with those challenges, but so is the Jewish community in general. And having read Dr. Ratul Gawande's book, Being Mortal, about 6 months before my mother passed away, I've started to realize that eldering is not the same for everyone. And as a rabbi, it's my job to help people create meaning and purpose in their lives in a Jewish context. And this course, one of the major takeaways has been gaining knowledge in different areas of counseling, getting a better understanding of the concept of palliative care, and learning how I might be able to shepherd other people through these later stages of life in a positive way.
So the student reaction is really cool, and but Lynn and Laura, you taught in the program, and I'd just like to throw out a question to you, because you walk through from the other side of the computer, so to speak. What, you know, from your perspective of working with the students and putting the classes together, what did you find with the nature of the students, with the level of the students, the level of engagement, interest? What was, as a faculty member, what was your biggest takeaway from teaching in this program?
So this is Lynn. I was not so surprised, but I was immensely pleased because the level of engagement was enormous. I found that, like some of our PhD students, our rabbinic students in this program, took their mission very seriously. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be in this place, at this time. And I think the flexibility of the program really allowed them to engage with the material in a way that was meaningful to them and specific to their needs. The other thing that I noticed was the immediate cohesion, the group cohesion that formed. They became a supportive group for one another, you know, what we would have called a caring community. And they really cared for one another and supported one another and engaged with one another and dialogued in a way that made the course as a professor so much more meaningful. In my course, there were opportunities for self-reflection at the end of most of the modules. And I was pleased by how forthcoming everybody was about their own self-awareness and their growth within the process of the course.
What did you teach? Which class did you teach?
I taught Philosophical Foundations of the Helping Profession. Okay. And it was, I would say it was a meaty course. And the readings were definitely, some of them, challenging, and there was a lot of diversity. The students, you know, all of them engaged with the material in an intellectually challenging way. They all met the challenge and went beyond any of my anticipation.
Dr. Blackman, what did you teach? What class did you
teach? I taught the gerontology course.
Okay, so and your reaction from that encounter with the students, as I asked Lynn.
What I appreciated was their willingness to be so open and sharing amongst each other. You know, in the examples that they gave, they came from personal and professional experiences, and I think it really helped to process the information that they were learning in the course. Students were extremely compassionate towards each other in terms of sometimes problem solving. I also appreciated how flexible they were in terms of trying to embrace some of the assignments that I had them do, because one of the assignments that they had to do was the narrated PowerPoint, which for some was a new experience. And everyone did it. So, you know, and that was, you know, a lot of fun to see students take on this challenge and to be really receptive to it. And I think they were pleased with the final product, because it was something that I was also able to share with the class. So they each got to see each other's presentations, and they all had a different presentation and, you know, a different feel. And they were able to kind of share a whole different set of information with each other.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question too, because the term palliative care is often misunderstood out in amongst people. This is not, I want to make sure this people understand this. This is not a certification program that just focuses on end of life. Is that correct? Somebody?
That's correct.
Okay.
This is looking about the needs of older adults, looking at healthy aging and well aging to people in a situation needing help because of slow declines or gradual declines, and they need assistance. And then as they get closer towards the end of life and the end of life issues that both the older adult and their family faces.
Yeah, well, I mean, the statistics, obviously you all know the statistics, we've gone over them, but, you know, I just was, again, reading another report that by 2030, which is just literally around the corner, the number of people 65 years of age and older in the United States will be greater than the number of people who are, I think, 15 or 16 and younger. So this is the country, and we are aging, the Jewish community is aging more rapidly than the American Jewish, because we're under replacement level for children. So the whole caregiving, economics, philosophy, counseling, interpersonal relations, family dynamics all come into play with this. Gary, what are you looking for in year two? Are you planning any significant changes, any little tweaks here, there? Talk to me about that.
Well, I think all the faculty have learned in delivering the course. I think what we're always learning is sort of how to maintain a balance between depth and breadth of the material that we wish to cover, and trying to do that within the busy lives of rabbis, so that the reading is kept manageable, the assignments are kept largely short and practical, and that each of the courses is engaging, so that if the students will get the opportunity to dialogue and engage with each other, both on the discussion forum and through some opportunities for live interaction on Zoom.
You know, I'm interested because now you, Shmuel and Susan and Ellen have a perspective now. It's been a couple of months since the end of the program. So a perspective, just to toss up to either one of you, any one of the three of you want to chime in. What were the assignments and the reading, because all of you are working professionals, was it manageable, or did you find that sometimes you had a really overdo some stuff or rearrange schedules? In other words, were the assignments and the reading manageable in working in your lifestyle?
I have to say that I was greatly appreciative whenever an assignment looked to be a bit larger than I would have expected. If we ever approached the professors and expressed our concern, they always tried to work with us, whether it was extending an assignment due date by a week or truncating it somewhat, but they always tried to work with us. Thank God I never was behind in doing the work, and they even allowed us to get ahead. So if we had a little extra time, we were ahead. I always felt bad that I wasn't as ahead as the other people in the class, but I appreciated that very much.
I'm fascinated that you were able to be ahead of this. I never had that problem at HEC. Never at all. But anyway, anybody else? I mean, just because I think it's important for somebody who'd be sitting there listening to this and who's working in a congregation or a chaplain and trying to figure, well, can I budget the time? Do I have enough time? And I think, again, to emphasize what Shmuel was saying before, the program is online, but you can log on to that week's assignment or module whenever you want to. It's not a fixed time like this class meets a Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:30. If you're not there, you miss it. If, like Shmuel said, if you have a lot of stuff at work and you don't get on, can't do this until 11 o'clock at night, it's there, and you have that whole week to finish that module. So, Susan, Ellen, any other comments on the workload, assignment load, and your reaction to it?
I'll jump in. This is Susan. And I agree. I felt that the workload was reasonable. The flexibility was something that I very much appreciated. that, as Shmuel said, if we did say something to one of the professors, there was an understanding that we might not be able to get to everything, that we might not be able to comment on everything, and that we were all coming at this from different perspectives and with different challenges in our lives. And there was no shaming. I didn't get a feeling of that I wasn't doing a good job, that everything that I was sharing was well received, and I got wonderful feedback from other people that gave me a lot to think about.
I know you guys talked about what you took away from this, I guess, in a professional manner. But the reality is, these types of programs, the intended or unintended consequence is really how you grow as a person. And I think just knowing a little bit about the program and some of you, I'm interested especially from the students, but also from the faculty, because it, when you teach, you also grow. But I want to start with the students. What changed in you? What changed in you as where you were a year ago before you started this program?
Okay, well, I'm Ellen. I'll start with this one. I personally found that I became stronger professionally. I always wanted to, the last number of years, I started moving towards gerontology, working with people, talking about it, imagining myself within the context of a professional in the field. I felt it was much stronger as a person and as a professional. I also work as a chaplain, where I'm doing still training, what they call CPE, clinical mm-hmm. pastoral education. And when I would use some of the experiences, no names, of course, of clients I visited, and then people would comment on it, and I did it with the readings, that made me more excited about doing the work, and it really helped strengthen a lot about that. One thing that I didn't mention, in Dr. Blackman's course in gerontology, we had a partner, and one of my friends in the community offered to be my over 70 partner. And some of the questions were, you know, fun. And in many ways, I sort of wish I were her, because she really was leading this wonderful life in her late 70s. And then one of them was like end of life. And I mean, we barely got through it. And then Dr. Morgan said, when did you get the idea of asking people? But in the end, I really learned a lot about her and a lot about myself as a professional. Things, in fact, that I'm using in my own Jewish community work in terms of some of her interests and needs and things that she wanted to see. So strengthening me as a professional and learning a lot more about myself and myself within the community.
Anybody else want to tackle that?
I can say that I feel more adequate in addressing the issues of the older congregants. I can say that until now I would lack some confidence in being able to really help them. But after this program, I feel like I'm more empowered and more confident to actually address their needs in a meaningful way. On a personal level, I can see, especially from many things that you have on your website and from your readings, Rabbi Address, that many caregivers are in the same situation. They may feel that each one is unique and has their own sets of issues, but they're really not. And many people have a lot of things in common. And when we study them and we connect with them, we can have a better understanding of we really are doing the best we can, and this is what we can do to make it even better.
Oh, thanks for the plug, Shmuel.
It's your podcast.
No.
And
go ahead, Susan.
What I want to say is that as a result of this class and additional reading that I've done, and you know, another plug, you're costing me a fortune, Richard, in books that I buy that you have talked about. But I am both terrified and empowered with getting older. I turned 60 this past November, and between that and the course, I'm noticing a shift in my attitude. I'm seeing things very differently. God willing, I have a long time to be processing this, but from a personal standpoint, I'm saying I have a lot of work to do now so that when I get older, I will be able to continue doing what's meaningful to me.
So Lynn and Lori, as faculty, I'm fascinated because we're all teachers and we've all had teaching experiences where at the end of that experience, you know that something has changed in you. Did that happen to you guys in any way?
Hi, this is Lori.
So for me, what was important when you have students with such, you know, a strong background,
yes,
is trying to make sure you have material that they're going to find interesting, stimulating, and challenging at the same time. You know, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't sharing with them things that they already knew or that they would find, you know, redundant. But at the same time, you know, showing them different perspectives and different and getting them to think of issues in different ways. And I'm hopeful that I was able to accomplish that in some ways.
Well, thank you. Let me ask a question, because before we start running out of time, it just occurred to me, because the program is a certification program in palliative care and gerontology, and palliative care is associated with medical issues, you know, pain management, etc. But I'm interested to see, especially from the students who've walked through this and who are working in the field, that is there such a thing as spiritual palliative care? And if, and I'm just playing with this right now, I'm just throwing this out to you, we didn't rehearse this at all, but the concept of, you know, in working with older adults in this brand new paradigm, this total revolution of a generation that really never has existed the same way ever before, especially in the Jewish community, is there such a thing as the spiritual care of our generation in a palliative way? And I'm playing with this. And you push me on it. I'm not really sure of the word, but I'm interested to see how you react to that as practitioners in the spiritual realm, because the three of you students do that. We are all working in aspects of the same ballpark, that spiritual ballpark. So anybody want to comment on that? Shmuel, Susan, Ellen?
It's Lynn. I think my course actually targeted that aspect of the aging process is how we identify and relate to the diversity of spirituality. Everybody will come to not just aging, come to life with their own conception of what spirituality means. And it doesn't always align with religiosity.
No, it doesn't. You're right. Absolutely right.
You know, one can identify as a religious individual and yet not identify as a spiritual being. And conversely, one can feel quite spiritual, but not religious. And I think learning to meet the needs of our clients is part of the process of learning to meet our own needs as individuals. How do we relate to how do we identify spirituality within ourselves? What does it mean to us? And how can we elevate the experience for others without being judgmental? You know, very often one comes to with their own preconceived notions,
right,
of what it should look like. And I think hopefully students who went through the course that I took came away from it with the notion that it's very much a unique experience. And I think the whole notion of spirituality and aging and spirituality and living is something that we are exploring as individuals in our society today to a much greater extent.
No, I think, Lynn, the idea of saying it is, it's really spirituality and living, and
right,
it may be adapted as each one of us ages in our own way, the way we age,
right,
because we each one of us ages very, very differently.
Right.
Based upon all of our family of origin history and all the stuff that went into, you know, you don't just all of a sudden pop up and realize this at age 80. You're the product of all those previous 79 years. And so I think your approach of saying the spirituality in living and how you adapt that to as you get older is really a wonderful way to look at it. And I'm very happy you mentioned it as a faculty member, that this is part of the curriculum. In other words,
right,
and as Shmuel and Susan and Ellen have validated, that you, in the course of this certification program, students are encouraged to really pull back the curtain, so to speak, and examine their own views of what it means to get older, because part of dealing with older adults in congregations, so that you can confront your, what does it mean for this is, because this is me too.
Right.
And you look at that 85-year-old person, and God willing, you're going to be 85 one day. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be talked to? When Ellen talks about the works that she's done with isolation, which is a epidemic now in the United States, this is all part of the program. Gary, before we start running out of time, any last minute things that you want to remind somebody who may be listening to this and thinking about, I want to explore this more. What piece of advice would you give to someone sitting out there and may want to think about this or contemplate applying? What's that one piece of advice or encouragement you want to give?
Well, those individuals should check out our website. If they have any questions, anything they want to discuss about the program, Rabbi Stephen Kroll is available to them to discuss any aspect of the program, as are Lynn Levy and myself. We want to make this program as strong as possible so that we can better serve the older adults in our congregations and in our community. This is an exciting program. We've been evolving over the year that we've offered it, and I will assume that next year at this time it will be even a stronger program than it is today.
And a reminder that this is online, that is a multi-denominational and pluralistic is an approach. It's very open, and that's one of the exciting things, as the students themselves have mentioned. So Dr. Gary Stein, who's the director of the certification program in gerontology and palliative care, thank you, Gary. Our colleagues Shmuel Bernstein and Susan Okodzi, and Dr. Ellen Cohen, Dr. Lynn Levy, Dr. Lori Blackman. Is Rabbi Kroll there? Did he make
yes,
it in?
Yes, he is.
All right. Hi, Stephen. Nice to, you've been very quiet, Stephen. But before we sign off, Stephen, we'll give you Acharon Acharon Chaviv, the final blessing there. Anything you want to say regarding the program?
I think it's a phenomenal program. I was blessed to graduate with my MSW from Wurzweiler in 2008. And I've been working I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've been working in gerontology and palliative care, and I have a practice predicated on those fields. And I think the program is just fantastic. And I think that, the fact that they've created a program flexible for rabbis to give rabbis the skills and knowledge that they need to meet the needs of the community is just such a blessing. And I encourage everyone to apply. It doesn't cost anything to apply. Just apply. If you have any concerns, just let us know what the concerns are. But don't feel that your concern should be a reason to not apply. As you heard on the podcast, the staff, the professors here want to do everything to make this as user-friendly as possible. So please apply, and we would love to have you.
And again, the information as to the website and everything, as we mentioned at the top of the show, that'll be on JewishSacredAging.com when we post, as we post the podcast. And since the podcast will be archived, it'll always be available on the website, JewishSacredAging.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Continued good luck and success with the program. Shana Tova, stay healthy and stay well. We appreciate your time and really your contributions to all of the field, and especially for this particular program. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
To all of you, thank you again for listening to today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. Again, I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address. We invite you to visit our website, JewishSacredAging.com. You can leave us a voicemail on that. There's a voicemail icon on the website. You can also visit us on Facebook at Jewish Sacred Aging on Facebook. A reminder that especially as the new year dawns, we'd like to continue to expand these podcasts and the offerings of Jewish Sacred Aging. And we very much appreciate it if you would go to the website and go to the top menu and the donate click on icon, and you feel free to send in a goodwill donation to Jewish Sacred Aging. It's a 501c3, And the information and the how to do that is right on the donate button icon at the top of the homepage. Again, Secrets of Meaning is produced here by the courtesy of and facilities of Lubetkin Media here in beautiful Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And we give an extreme amount of thanks to our producer, Steve Lubetkin. To all of you, have a wonderful day. We look forward to greeting you on the next edition of Secrets of Meaning. This is your host, Rabbi Richard Address. Shalom.